Welcome to our final installment of the podcast we've called 25 for 25. A look back at the first 25 years of Oink Ink Radio and 25 spots along the way that have been memorable for us. Today, we're at number one after a five-spot countdown. I'm Dan Price, along with my partner slash brother Jim Price.
Hey.
And we want to thank you one last time for joining us as we present work we've done along the way over those 25 years. Some of it highly award-winning, some of it, you know, marked milestones with certain clients or just sort of a homage to early clients and things of that nature. In this installment, we're going to launch right into it because we have a lot to cover. We're going to listen to and talk about a spot we did for Rainbow Foods, which a lot of people know us for this spot, so it may not be a giant surprise to anybody.
I think we're better known for this spot than Rainbow Foods was as a supermarket chain.
There's a lot that went on with with this spot and a lot to cover. First of all, it was a 2003 winner of our Dead Radio contest. Several spots have made it into the top 25 from the Dead Radio contest. I've already explained all those times what that contest is. But real quickly, writers every year send us a bunch of scripts that they couldn't sell. You know, the clients shot them down. We pick the best one and produce it and fly the winner in to New York or LA or whatever and produce the spot. And then many of them have gone on to air once the writer goes back to his or her client and says, hey, see, I told you it was good. And then they say, oh, you're right. And they put it on the air. Well, this one did just that. And it was highly awarded for us. We've gotten a lot of sort of recognition from this spot. It contains, though, and it isn't just for that reason that it made it in. There are many reasons. This spot sort of contains a lot of the ingredients, I guess, that you could say, that we try and employ with spots that we do. But this one does all of them really well, in our opinion. It has sort of that vibe of, you know, where is this going? Much like our many other spots that we've featured do, because we think in radio, that's a cool thing when you can sort of draw a listener in and really engage with them so that they pay attention and you navigate through where is this spot going. And the punchline to this, not to like sort of give it away and ruin it, but that's one of the reasons we like it. It's so unexpected, and it really rewards the listener for sitting through what until then feels a little gratuitous. In fact, it was that last, trait that had me kind of wondering, well, is this my top spot? Because I do think there are times when people could say, you know, that's easy to use a vehicle like that, this gratuitous sort of thing. Jim never had any doubt, and I came to sort of realize, you know what, this is the spot we should recognize as our number one, because it's hard to argue that there are a lot of people who know of us because of this spot. And it's funny, new clients refer to this spot all the time in one way or another. They'll either say, we really want something, you know, jarring. We want something to really stand out. Or they say, we don't want that, because you'll hear the spot and find out. But everybody appreciates it for what it is. And it's really become sort of that noticeable on our reel of, you know, the best spots when we send them out to sort of market ourselves. It won every award you could think of. It was honored at Cannes. It just goes on and on. So it was really, really successful for us. And when we play this for audiences, you know, when we go and speak at ad clubs and things like that, no spot gets a reaction like this. I mean, to the point where they're mumbling and chattering and laughing for minutes beyond, and I hate to build it up because now we'll play and people say, what's the big deal? Okay. But this is why it made it. That is what happens when we play it. The session itself, I remember, even though it's all this many years later, I remember a couple things about it. Well, Actually, I'm wondering, should we play it?
Yeah, probably should just play it.
Let's play it, and then we have a lot to talk about, you know, about this spot. Again, it was for Rainbow Foods. It was a Dead Radio winner back in early 2003. So it would have been one of the first ones that we produced at our first recording studio, this big studio we had down in Soho at 38 Green, which is what the name of the studio was. The agency that submitted this was Rick Johnson and Company out of Albuquerque. The writer was Adam Greenhood. And I guess I'll say now that we think Leslie Mona Mathis and Joe Gauci both, to some degree, worked on it. They both worked for us back then. Maybe one of them cast it, one of them put it together, maybe one started it and the other finished. We're not positive, but they both were involved in it, so that's good enough for us. And the spot features, this is the second spot in a row, you're going to hear Jim Murtaugh at the end doing what he does best, but the kid in it, his name is Ian Carlson, which we had to look long and hard to find out who the kid was. We don't really keep super, super great records. We did have his name listed, but it's not like he's a regular of Oinks because at the time he's like 7 years old. So anyway, without further ado, here is the spot we call Babysitter.
What is wrong with you? It was Danny's friggin' fault. Why don't you ever tell him to go to his friggin' room? You're not even my friggin' mom. You're just a goddamn babysitter. Why do you have to be such a friggin' bitch all the time? Just do me a friggin' favor and go yourself. I swear to Christ, when my mom gets home, all I have to do is tell her that I saw you f***ing your f***ing boyfriend in our house, and she'll fire your f***ing face.
Bars of soap. Now 2-for-1 at all Rainbow Foods. Rainbow Foods. Fresh for less.
The session I recall, now it's a little sort of easier to speak about it. And I recall for a reason that we being parents ourselves, really had no interest in putting this kid in this position of screaming curse words.
Yeah, actually, you cared about that more than I did.
So I remember
trying to
doctoring the script. And so the kid never does curse. He's yelling, you know, friggin' and the word Christmas and things like that. And then when you beep out the middle, you know, you're only hearing the beginning and the end of the word. So it sounds obviously like he's cursing. So we did that. And I do remember when we got in the room, there was like, I think we didn't do that to the word ass or something. And I remember specifically Ian saying, there's a curse in here. And I said, oh, geez, that's a typo, kid. So, you know, we like sort of doctored it. And his dad was down the hall in the reception area. And oftentimes parents of kids will say, can I come in to the studio? And I never, ever allow that because it's just like this layer that, you know, sort of gets in the way and you don't know what the parent's going to do. This dad, as Ian later tells us, we actually caught up to this kid who's now 23 years old. And he talked about, although unfortunately he didn't really even remember doing this, but he talked about how his dad has a fairly salty vocabulary anyway, and he wouldn't have really cared. But the way we did the session, and we do most times with little kids, is we basically hire the kid who is the best mimic. And that's, you know, you can't really get a kid in there and just say, okay, let loose. And he's looking out at all these adults behind the glass. It's sort of intimidating. So I was in the booth with him screaming these lines. And then he would dive right into it and just gave it everything he had. And I remember being like hoarse after this. And it was, you know, gets hot in the booth and everything. So I remember the session pretty specifically. But let me play for you real quick just a snippet of this interview we had with Ian, who was the child actor in this spot. As I say, he didn't really remember it, but he turns out he's a great guy, and I really appreciated him sort of taking the time and participating in this. So here's what he had to say.
I listened to it the other day, and it was funny to hear. You know, it's funny. I don't remember the recording of it, but I remember my day after the recording of it, because when I was younger, if I had to do any kind of voiceover or commercial spot, a lot of times I'd have to get taken out of class. So I remember coming back to school after it was done to finish the day. And I don't know, I guess I was so excited about the whole thing. I was talking to my teachers about it and everybody else in my class. Like, oh, my voice is going to be on something that a lot of people are going to hear, maybe. And I was nervous. It was sort of like, oh, I don't know, like, I guess I got the job. I auditioned a lot. For the most part, it was just commercial and print stuff. My dad wasn't too shy when I was younger. I mean, he's still not shy when it comes to the use of expletives, shall we say. My mom, though, she was like, yeah, I don't want to hear any foul language at all. And so you can imagine, a little kid, it was like, I'll take anything I can get. It's like my parents run around and you guys are having me say this stuff. So I'm sure it was like, in my 7-year-old or 8-year-old mind, it was like, oh my God, this is bad, but I get to do it anyway.
All right. Well, thanks again, Ian. I was thrilled that we were able to track him down and catch up with him. So I appreciate that. Again, I want to go over the credits of this. It's a spot for Rainbow Foods. It was a Dead Radio winner from 2003. Jim Murtaugh makes his appearance at the end. As I said, he did the same in spot number two for Jeopardy, the spot for Traffic. We did this at 38 Green with a couple great people that we worked with back then. But before we sign off for good, I wanted to offer some thanks to some very key people for making 25 years possible for us. I can't, you know, list every client, of course, as much as we'd like to. There've fortunately been so many, but we do offer our thanks to them on our website on the 25th anniversary page. And through human error, some may not be listed, and we apologize for that. Others like Verizon or Lowe's or Advance Auto may not have been added yet. They're all pretty new to us in the last couple months. We started working for each of those. But anyway, I want to thank all of those clients for sure. Others that we want to acknowledge are really the actors who have made us look good over 25 years. I've often said that bad acting can ruin even the best written copy, but a great voice actor, through their interpretation or spontaneous contributions, can make even mediocre copies sound great. And take it from us, we know. And so thanks to the, I don't know, hundreds, maybe thousands of actors that we've worked with along the way. I also want to thank Gary Moskowitz, former owner of Baker Sound, Jeremy Goldsmith at Tabby, and the mixers who've worked for Oink Inc. either at our LA studio or New York studios. Literally, we've been surrounded by the best people in the business anywhere, in my opinion. But I also want to thank the ultra-talented people we now work with. Andy Roth, our casting guru. Kelly Harnett, who does lots and lots of work for us, editing and producing spots. She actually edited all the interviews that you'll find on the 25th page. Also, Jan and Joel of Go Shift Key, the tremendous PR firm, who suggest that we do podcasts in the first place, but especially a giant shout out to our close friends at our home away from home audio engine in New York City, Bob and Carl, Tom, Rex, Kathleen, Drew, Ebony, and especially Molly. And a real special sort of shout out to our close friends here at Baker Sound in Philly. It's where we started out. Seems like a fitting place to have recorded these podcasts here. But we also love coming here when we have the opportunity to do our normal 9-to-5 work from this place. And that's Ellen, Jeff, Chuck, and of course, Rick DiDonato, super talented audio people and all good friends of ours. So thanks to all of them. We regret that we weren't able to feature more than 25 spots, I guess, although we really didn't have time to do any more than 25. But we had to draw the line somewhere. We started with a short list, I think, when this idea came up, of 72.
I think it was like 130 and then or something,
maybe,
and then we
one of us got it to 72 because, honestly, there are just many thousands of spots to pick from. So Jim and I went back and forth, and surprisingly, it didn't take that many back and forth to get it to 25, which is kind of shocking. But anyway, who knows? Maybe in 5 years we'll do another podcast to salute a few more spots. We're excited about several new campaigns we're developing for those newer clients, the aforementioned Lowe's, Verizon, and Advance Auto. So in the meantime, keep your ears peeled for that work. So that should do it. And thanks again, everybody, for listening to 25 for 25. I had a lot of fun doing this. It was great to reconnect with so many people from our past, and it was a real neat thing for us to hear voice actors and clients telling us, unsolicited, how they were actually listening to this series. I had expected the total audience, I guess, to be limited to our wives and children, truth be told. But every other day, someone's saying, hey, I'm listening to these podcasts, which is really sort of surprising, but neat for us that we're not doing this for no reason. So thanks for everybody for all your time that you invested in listening to these. And with that, that'll do it for us. So thank you. Thanks, everybody, and so long. Bye-bye.